Alzheimer's, What They Forget to Tell You, episode 40.
That's how old I am.
Hi, Rick.
Hello. I don't know who anybody is. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard.
Okay, so this week...
I got the crystal. Sorry.
We have Cindy on. Hi. She's going to talk about her father passed away last week.
July 28th.
Was it last week? No.
So, no, it was the week before.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still fresh. Hi, Carlos.
Hi, Carlos.
And you're going to talk to us about how it is when someone passes away in a nursing home. Because it's a little bit, well, I wouldn't experience that, so... Right. I think people need to know.
Okay. So I don't know what you want
me to say. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Okay, so I know. Are you sure you're okay?
I'm good. Okay. I think I'm good. Okay. Yeah. If not, I'll leave the screen. No, I won't.
No.
I'm kidding.
It's not
okay,
an option.
I won't do that.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, so my father passed away on July 28th. He was living in a nursing home for 13 years, prior to that. He was 83 years old, and his official diagnosis was dementia with secondary depression. There was some confusion about the diagnosis a while back, but then when we put him on the Alzheimer's medication, it was horrible.
Okay.
We talked about him. So...
what was that, Aricept?
Aricept. Okay. Yeah, he started to kind of stiffen and seize and stuff, so we took him off it. On July 25th, so that would have been a Wednesday, my father stopped eating, which he had done before, and he kind of bounced back after a day or so. But he didn't, he refused his medications, he wasn't eating for 2 days. One of the things that is, was that mine? Is important also is in the nursing home, there's different levels of care that we have to sign, kind of like the DNR. So there's four levels.
So a DNR is a do not resuscitate form.
Yes.
For people who don't know.
Okay, so... initially he was, so there's four levels, so the fourth level, not to get too technical, but they'll pretty much do anything they can to save the person's life. So they'll take them to the hospital, they'll call the ambulance, all that kind of stuff. And then level one is palliative, so they won't do any type of intervention. So at the time my dad was a level two, which meant that they would treat him only in the home, but they wouldn't transfer him to the hospital, and they would do the best that they could. But they gave me the option at the time to change it to a level three, which meant they would send him to the hospital just for some assessments and stuff. So we did that, and that was Thursday night. We went to the hospital.
It was Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after a lot of assessments and blood work, it basically came out that his kidneys had gone into severe failure due to dehydration. And that there was no other treatment that was going to help him. He was very frail at that time, so it was our choice, well, my choice at the time, to either try and treat him, which would have kind of proven fatal anyways, or to send him back to the nursing home so that he would be palliative, and that's what we chose to do. So within like 48 hours, he went from level 2 to level 3, and then when he returned back, he was a level one, which meant they stopped giving him medication. They just made him comfortable, and they had the morphine and stuff in his tray in the event that he became restless, which they didn't use, which I was really happy about. So he went back to the home on Friday morning. All of the family came to visit him during the day on Friday, and then he peed. Yeah,
because you said that he was eating. He stopped eating, and then.
Yes, because
okay.
I think I actually mentioned it on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That he had eaten dinner,
okay.
which we were really excited about.
Just ignore me.
That's okay. Nice.
Thank you.
So, yes, he did eat dinner, but he was still not responsive, and he wasn't as alert as they wanted him to be. So one other thing about having them in the nursing home. So he was seen by the doctor on the Wednesday, no, on the Thursday, and he had ordered blood work. But blood work is only done on certain days of the week at the nursing home.
Okay.
So we would have had to wait until Monday, which was the next day that the labs would come and do the blood work.
Really?
Yes.
From Thursday?
From Thursday.
Wow.
So the reason why we sent him was because then we'd be able to get the blood work done right away. So that was one of the reasons why we did that. Anyways, so he... family came to visit him on Friday, and then me and my brother and my sister-in-law were there on Saturday, and he peacefully passed, so it wasn't, he didn't go into any distress. He was sleeping the whole time, and, you know, he passed while we were at lunch.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really, I don't know, it's like mixed feelings.
Yeah.
It's still hard, it's still your dad, so.
Yeah. But, you know, I think that what I keep telling my, like, my friends and my family is that I think he was ready.
Yeah.
Because he passed quite quickly, right? Like,
well,
they were,
I know. When you told me, I couldn't believe it.
And, you know, even the specialist said without treating him, he could have lasted anywhere between 3 to 5 days, sometimes a week. Apparently, there's some stories where... Like,
well, even I've heard
can,
2 weeks.
Yeah, two weeks with no food,
yeah.
And you know, and he passed away within a day and a half. So I think he was done fighting, you know, and at least he was able to pass away at home. He was able to see his family. He wasn't in any distress. That's something I always worry about, because I don't want it. You know, I don't want him to be in pain. I'm now wondering about the lights. Should we turn? Look.
What?
There's some shadow or some glare. I don't know what's happening. Look. No. We need to close that now. Like,
no,
that is.
Okay.
Look.
No, just keep going.
But, okay.
It's fine.
Anyway.
Nobody's looking at me.
No, but still, I am. It's like, it's all shadowy. No? Okay.
I'm not going to adjust.
Okay, fine. So, so he passed away on the 28th. One of the things I had mentioned to Karen prior to this was that if you have a loved one in a nursing home, they don't necessarily tell you the policy about what happens when your loved one dies, probably because they don't want to have that conversation with you at the time.
Which probably should.
They should.
At some point.
Yeah. So the policy, the ministry policy, at least in Ontario, is... Your loved one's belongings have to be removed from the room within 48 hours of their passing, which we did not find out until we were in the midst of all of the funeral arrangements.
And they were being very adamant, you said.
Yes, so they
okay.
called. They called my brother, said, you know, somebody's coming to look at the room. And I know it's about optics. Like, I know that they don't want people, like, families to come in and look at a lived-in room because then they know they're going to associate with somebody who passed away, right? So it has to be, like, a sterile
but who,
hospital
a lot of,
room.
But think about it. Let's just think about it in the real world.
Yes.
If someone passes away, even, like, going into that person's room, let's just say it was in a house, and it... Even if they didn't pass away in the house or whatever.
Right.
It takes a long time. That process is a long time. You're not ready to just...
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's
so I had some fine words.
Yeah.
Some sweet words.
What kind of words?
I can't say.
Okay.
So I did not go to pick up his stuff.
I don't blame you.
I mean, that's 13 years of his life, and they want me to... pack up everything in like a couple of hours, which at least for me was unacceptable. See, I'm using professional words right now. It was unacceptable.
It's inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
To say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it is ministry standards. So, you know, that's something that I think everybody should know if your loved one is in the nursing home. My mom passed away in the nursing home. But I think because they were rooming together, it wasn't necessarily that imminent or that, that important to get her stuff out in that period of time.
They probably had time. And there's, like, unfortunately, which brings us to another topic, is that there is, like, a huge waiting list.
Yes.
To get in.
Yeah.
There's, like, over 30,000 people waiting.
Right. And this is a subsidized room as well.
In Ontario.
Yeah.
So.
Right? Like, this isn't a private
they
room.
They don't have time, unfortunately. And, I understand.
Like, so this is, like, a subsidized room. This is for
So
people.
He was sharing?
He was sharing a room.
Wow.
With
yeah.
his roommate.
Okay,
and,
so,
And my fish tried to jump out of the aquarium.
Only during this
thing,
right? Does that always happen?
I don't know. I've never heard it until now.
All right.
My fish is they're trying to escape.
Okay.
I'm boring.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Nadira. Hi, Jason.
I know I shouldn't, but in case there's an emergency, my son's at a soccer game right now, and I might get a text for an emergency. Like, where's the game? So, give me one.
Is it this?
Yes. Sorry, this is so unprofessional.
Rude.
I know, but I just want... Nope, we're good. Okay. So, there's a 48-hour window for you to get your loved one's stuff outside of the room, which...
So, even if you are able to or not, it has to go.
It has to go. So, is that here? Yeah. So, that's that. And it's been up and down. I've had a lot of wonderful people in my life checking in on me, so I'm very appreciative.
Like, if you had to mention anyone. No, I'm just joking.
Well, I think you just...
No, okay, sorry. Never mind. Not important.
But I think, I mean, I remember when he was... When it first started happening, we were talking, and
mm-hmm.
I felt... And I said...
I was so happy.
Yeah.
I was like, yay, he's eating.
He's eating. But then even when we were talking about the possibility, because I remember when I called you, I said, he's not eating, and you already knew at that time. Like,
it's not a good sign.
Yeah, it's not good. And I remember saying to you, like,
who don't know, because
mm-hmm.
swallowing is, like, the last sign for, like, Alzheimer's or dementia. They have difficulty. They forget how to swallow. And so that's usually... And when they stop eating, you kind of, like, prepare yourself. So when Cindy's dad started eating, I was like, oh.
Yeah, okay. We were so happy.
Okay, so.
But even, like, when we were even thinking about the idea that this might not be good, I remember saying, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, it was sad. Like, I was sad.
But
he's been... This is something that we've watched him, like, go through for a really long time.
Yeah, it's like a double-edged sword. It's the same thing I say about my mom, too. Like, it's 18 years, and, you know, I'm trying to prepare myself. But I know I'm going to still feel that, like, okay, it's good, because, you know, she's not...
Yeah.
She's just a shell.
Right.
There's no quality of life. But, I mean, you're still going to... It's hard to say, I think.
Well, because it sounds insensitive
or
cold, but
I
don't think
it
is.
And you're still grieving.
Yeah.
Regardless of the situation. I think that's important to discuss because I think a lot of people, I don't think they mean to be insensitive,
mm-hmm.
but, like, you know, I even hear it, and I'm sure you've heard it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no quality of, like, but the person's still living,
right.
Or the person, you know, they're still a life, regardless of the quality.
Right.
It's still not nice to hear when someone tries to kind of, like, and I know, I think they think they mean well.
The intentions, for the most part, are good. For the most part, are good. Others, which are not necessary for this podcast, are not very helpful.
We're venting. People want to know.
Mm.
No? Not so much?
Not really. Well, I mean, yes, he's not suffering anymore. Yes, he's with my mother, who passed away.
Okay. We don't really know if he was suffering. Was he suffering?
I don't know.
That's right.
I mean,
I don't
know. He was nonverbal at the time.
Just like mom. Mm-hmm.
I even asked them. I remember I asked the doctor at the time whether or not he was in any pain, and they said, well, all we can go on right now is his nonverbal cues, like his grimacing.
It's usually, the grimacing.
Right,
yeah.
If he's making any noises. But
yeah.
He was very peaceful, so we have to, at least for our own, you know, comfort, we have to kind of believe that he was not in pain.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't, like, and I think that was a big thing, right? Because like, I think that there's always this idea of you want to do as much as you can to kind of keep them alive, and then that then becomes conflicted with the quality of life.
Right,
because
then you're the same thing. Like, you were talking about going back and forth of the levels. Like, okay, yeah, we have a do not resuscitate, but then you said that the nursing home at least called you to make sure, like, do you still want him to have this do not resuscitate? And it is. It's like, you know, the first thing that you think about is saving somebody, saving a life.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's really tough to kind of be like, no.
And one thing that I found really interesting was the different perspectives in terms of the medical, like the practitioners, right? So I had met with the ER doctor first, and the emergency room doctor. And the ER doctor said, you know, it's not looking good. All of the options are going to prove pretty fatal because he was very frail. And so at that time, we had decided, because I wanted his family to come and say
mm-hmm.
goodbye. So we had decided that they were going to put him on IV.
Okay.
Right? To prolong it and then transfer him to the nursing home in the morning, because it was at 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, and transfer him to the home where they would then stop treating him and then he would eventually pass. And I left the hospital and I was so upset and I was crying. I was calling my brother and, you know, I was like, you know, this is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. And as I'm on the phone, the specialist called me from the hospital and he says, can you come back? I need to talk to you. So I was like, that doesn't sound good.
I know.
So I went back and, you know, and his perspective, which I really did appreciate a little bit more, was the idea that, you know, he said putting him on IV was not going to cure him. It wasn't going to help him. He was going to be in the same state as he was in at that time, which he was asleep the whole time. And so, you know, he was very like, you know, he didn't dance around the issue, right? So he was like, you need to be okay with your intentions of doing this. Like, you don't want to do it for selfish reasons.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what we're doing is we're prolonging whatever he's going through right now until the next day. And there was still no guarantee that with the IV he was going to survive the night, right? So he was like, if you want to prolong it, but know that we're just prolonging it. And at that point, we decided, again, we were like all over the place, we decided then that if that was the case, to just send him back in the middle of the night to the nursing home. Because it is about quality of life, right?
That was the right decision.
You know, like, he would just be, and I know that a lot of people question, like, I had to explain myself to, like, you know, his other family members, because, you know, it's a different mindset, right? Like, it's that you do everything you can to kind of, and I think that was a difficult conversation to have, because it was as if I didn't want to say I was giving up. It wasn't that I was giving up. I think it was I was accepting what was going to eventually happen, and I wanted him to have some type of dignity.
These are like tough decisions.
It's a tough decision. At 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sitting in the emergency room for like 5 hours.
And you're dealing with your own grief.
Right. Yeah. So it's not the best of decisions. And I think that's something that we have, like, I think that's something that, you know, when it actually happens, it's a difficult one to kind of think about.
I kind of did my grieving. I did pre-grieving, if you could understand
mm-hmm.
that. So when all of these decisions had to be made for my mom, when she first went into palliative care, I did counseling, because I had to wrap my head around the fact that I'm giving up. Like, I'm basically saying, yeah, I'm not doing any bells and whistles. I'm not, you know, this is it. This is when, like, she's going to decide how, but I'm not trying to sustain
right
this life
right
how she's living right now, because it's I don't think she would want to.
No.
But I'm guessing, right? Like, she did do a living will, which has no merit after, like, that bill.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it doesn't matter because there's so many parameters around the legalities of it. Like,
okay.
For sure, because I and my brother have deciding authority, because a person could stand to gain. So, like, if
mm-hmm.
I'm in, you know, financially it, they can't make the decision.
Oh, right.
So I was like, you know, being facetious, going, okay, so should I let the gardener make that? Just like, who are you? Excuse me. Do you put a classified ad? Excuse me. Can you make a decision? Like, if it comes to, like, who? Then who?
I don't know.
If it's not your loved ones, like your family, like who?
Right. Because you would have her best interest.
It's really, we care more about our animals than we do.
But you know what? I personally believe that that bill had to fall or pass because there were some family members who took advantage of that. And those are, like, it's that idea of, like, the rotten apple.
Right, but then
right?
I'm thinking.
Which is unfair.
Okay, but I'm thinking there should be, like, come on, common sense. If the person has been around for like 10 years and there's zero quality of life, like, you know, there's an incurable disease, come on. What does that person stand to gain after a decade?
Right. Oh, I agree with you. I agree.
Wow.
Completely.
Anyways, we digress.
That's fine.
Because this is nothing. Anyways.
No, but it is, I mean, it's definitely a difficult decision.
Yeah.
So, but my conscience is clear.
That's right.
Right?
Because you did everything.
Yeah. There was nothing else that could have been done.
And he really did go when he was ready.
I think so. Yeah. And, like, it was not funny. Can you use that?
Yes, you
in
can.
In this context?
Yeah.
It was really funny when my dad passed away.
yeah.
We were there, like, all, like, in the morning. And then we had, we went out for lunch, and so we went into the room. He hadn't woken up since I saw him on the Wednesday, and we said, you know, Dad, we're going to be right back, we're just going for lunch,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything, you know, we'll be back in an hour, and he passed while we were away.
Yeah.
So he, you know, I think.
He went when he was ready.
I think so.
And he didn't want an audience.
No.
They say that, though. They say that. My grief counselor said that, like, he worked in a hospice,
mm-hmm.
and he said, like, you know, a person can just step out,
yeah,
just go to the washroom, and then that's when it will happen.
Well, my mom did the same thing.
Really?
Yeah, she was, when she was in CCU, she passed away in 2008, and she was getting, like, really worked up. She was on the, not the CPAP, it's the other PAP, EPAP, whatever PAP. It was full on mask.
The oxygen.
Like this, like Darth Vader. That's what I called her.
Okay.
And she loved it. Anyway. So she was starting to, like, kind of have difficulty breathing. So I said, okay, well, let's, you know, take some time, take a nap. I'll be back. I'm going to go drive and see Dad, who lived 10 minutes away in the nursing home. And I'll come back when you come back from when you wake up. And by the time it took me to leave the hospital and get to the nursing home, the hospital called and said that she had passed.
That's
right?
I've heard a lot of those stories.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, I think, though, that the grieving
It'll
process...
It'll come in waves.
Yeah. It's different, though. Like, it's different from when my mom passed away. Because I feel like... Yeah, kind of like you said with your mom, right? Like, she's a different person.
Yeah.
Like, he was a different person, and I still
and I
loved him.
Yeah,
but
me too, and I can't communicate with her.
Yeah, I couldn't communicate
with him. So that makes
it
difficult.
With him. Like, I know, like, it was expected, but unexpected at the same time. So I was actually talking to a friend of mine today, and I said, you know, when it came to the stages of grief, I think I only have...
Kubler-Ross.
Oh, sorry, stages of grief.
Psychiatrist.
Sorry.
Who examined
the social worker in me just came out.
She's like, okay, you know,
the stages
of grief. Okay, yeah. So no. So Kubler-Ross was a psychiatrist who noticed there were patterns of people who were dealing with death and dying, or someone who just was diagnosed with an illness. And the first one is
denial, anger, bargaining is third, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. When Kubler-Ross came up with these,
I wanted to kill Kubler-Ross.
Well, when she came up with it, apparently the idea was that we were going to go through the stages sequentially.
Yeah, and it's
but
not.
But it's not like
it's
that.
Not
you can have all five in one day. I can wake up completely fine.
That's what I said about Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Dealing with Alzheimer's, you can go through all of that in one day.
In one day. And then you wonder why you're so exhausted, right? And it's because you wake up and everything is fine, and then a song comes on the radio, and all of a sudden
like
you're like bawling, looking at the guy beside you. Then you get angry because the guy beside you in the car is looking at you like, what is wrong
you
with you? And
me?
You just want to, yeah, say sorry. And then you're like all over the place, and then you wonder what's wrong with me. Yes. but with this one, I feel like I didn't do denial, I didn't do anger, and I didn't do bargaining. I flip-flop between sadness and acceptance, and that's it. Because I feel like there's no denial because it was expected.
And there's nothing more you could have done.
No.
So there's no bargaining.
There's no bargaining. Oh, I'm stuck. There's no anger because I feel like the way that he passed was with dignity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
which is the main thing.
So I feel like with those, yeah, so Kubler-Ross with a capital W. Only two. Going through.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has questions, but I feel like
pretty
I've been
sure
talking.
Nobody's gonna have questions.
Sorry, I know everyone's watching.
And they're
like,
yeah, okay. So,
blah, blah, blah,
how about those J's?
Keep talking. Keep talking.
All right. Well, okay. It's a sad. It's sad.
Yeah.
But
it's
inevitable
yeah.
for anybody. And I think that's probably the main message,
mm-hmm.
that if your loved one is, I just think personally, anybody is healthy or not, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you don't have these hard discussions about what your wishes are, what you
yeah.
want, and I know people don't like to talk about death, but
you have to.
You can't
get
out of this world alive.
Mm-mm.
It hasn't been done yet. So
right.
I think it's something you should talk about. Like I tell Jalen, you know, charbecue. I want to be cremated. Hook it up. Don't delay.
Like a Spitfire. Like
I don't care.
I don't
I'm not.
Just load up the oven. We're good.
It's fine. You don't need to do all the dramatics. Save your money. Save your money.
But cremating costs a lot of money.
No, it's like, you know, $4,000.
That's still a lot of money.
Better than
did you know
20 grand.
That you actually have to buy a coffin
yeah,
in
yeah.
order to
but
be cremated.
Yeah, but it's like not a...
But even if it's a pine box, you still have to pay for it.
That's how they get you.
It's a business. Just like how you have to get a coffin for the coffin.
And then you have to get... you have to get an urn.
Oh, you're getting cremated. So yes. I don't know if you can sprinkle.
You could just... I don't care. I'm
on your driveway.
Sprinkle. You could do whatever. Not on the driveway. That's rude. No.
Okay. In the garden?
No, I don't want to be in the garden. No.
Is this getting morbid?
No, because it's part of like...
Well,
also,
okay, it's not part of life. It's part of life that you want
to
be cremated, but,
you're
like,
not
where we're going
to
spread your ashes might actually
be... spreading my ashes all anywhere.
How are they going to know? I could say it was in my barbecue.
Because you're doing this live. You're admitting. It's the first step.
I'm making suggestions.
You're doing the Kubler-Ross.
I'm making healthy suggestions.
You're at acceptance. You're admitting.
Jalen, don't listen to what I'm suggesting.
You're not allowed to just spread human remains anywhere you feel like it.
How are they going to know?
Well, because I told you, you just admit it.
Well, yeah, I guess.
This is not dumbest criminals.
Well.
How would they know? Well, we saw your confession.
Man. Edit.
Anywho.
This is why I don't like live.
Okay, anywho.
We can edit. We can edit it out.
Jalen's not going to be spreading my ashes all over town.
Okay.
Not allowed.
Is he supposed to carry your ashes everywhere? Those urns are expensive.
You don't have to. No, he could. I don't know. Don't they have new things now? Like
they have the
like
vials.
Well, that's ridiculous.
They have a vial.
I don't want to be carrying
and
around.
And you carry.
No,
Jalen's
going
to carry a vial
no.
of Karen.
No, thanks.
Around her.
No, he's
yeah.
not.
Everywhere.
He's not.
And they're going to be like, oh, God, that's so pretty. What is it? And he'll be like, it's my mom.
No.
No?
No. No. Not happening. He could just bury my ashes.
But then you have to pay for burial.
So what?
Your whole point of being cremated was because it's cost too much to have.
Yeah, but it's like
a
little
funeral.
Thing. Like it's a little thing.
So you want him to dig a hole?
Really?
I'm just saying, because if you have to get someone to dig a hole, you know how much it costs to dig a hole?
How much?
$2,000. $2,000 to dig a hole and fill it back up. $2,000. So you want him to cremate you, which is $4,000, dig a hole, which is like $2,000. We're already at like $6,000. And you haven't even bought the coffin.
He's gonna be,
that's gonna be.
He's
and
gonna,
the vial.
He's gonna be a surgeon. He can afford it.
Then if he can afford it, he should just have a regular.
No, I don't want all of that. I don't want to have a viewing and all of that.
Do you think that they should have, or does it exist? You know how like when you're pregnant you have birth plans? Should you not have a death plan?
Yeah, they do have them.
Like, in pure detail, this
yes.
is what I want?
Yes.
Really?
You can buy that.
Okay. Actually, I bought one for my dad, but he didn't plan it. I did.
Right. So you
so
can't,
I planned
no,
it like two,
you should.
2 years
you
ago.
Should. I think everybody should.
Yes.
Everybody should have a funeral plan.
Yes.
So that.
So a couple years ago, this is what. So a couple years ago, I went to the funeral home. I planned out his entire funeral from the prayer cards to the casket to everything. So really all they needed was him to kind of fill the whole thing.
See there?
And
then it's less stress.
Yes, but we calculated the cost. This was awesome. I don't know why it's awesome, but we calculated how much it would cost, and I started paying in to his funeral 2 years ago every month. So when he passed away, we already had a deposit down. Prepared. It's all about.
That's what you do.
But it's not something that people are comfortable with.
I don't know.
I've always been comfortable.
Well, because like when my dad passed away, he had a massive heart attack. We didn't know. We just guessed.
Right.
Like we didn't know what to do.
Right.
He didn't tell us his wishes. He didn't have anything planned.
Right.
And then it leaves it to the kids going.
And it's
am
not,
I doing the right
emotionally,
thing?
Emotionally, you're just
yeah,
not
like I'm drained.
Ready.
I'm just. It was already shocking because it was unexpected. Obviously, a massive heart attack is unexpected,
yeah.
And he was 58, so that's unexpected.
Yeah, he was young.
So you know, like you're there, plant going. And my mom has Alzheimer's, so I can't ask her.
Right.
And she kept saying cremated, so we just went with that.
Okay.
Which was odd because my dad was devout Catholic. Anyways.
Why are you not supposed to be?
I don't know. Back in the day, like,
I don't know,
they were against cremation. Catholicism was against cremation, but now it's okay.
Okay.
Now it has a thumbs up now.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Okay. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Well, I'm sorry if this was a pretty somber. Morbid conversation today. Usually,
but
your podcasts are like so like upbeat and like funny and like hearted. And here I am talking about death.
Well, okay, this death is a part of life.
Mourning and the grieving and
we talk about things you're gonna have to deal with. And this is something you're gonna have to deal with. And it doesn't even matter. It's not dementia related.
Right.
So.
So one of the things I forgot to mention, so he passed away due to kidney failure, right? His kidneys failed because of dehydration. However, according to his death certificate, his official cause of death was complications due to end stages of dementia. Because even though his kidneys failed, it was because he was dehydrated, which was because he refused to eat, which was because of the dementia. So it all kind of trickled back to that. So
at least they're getting proper stats, because that's a number one issue of why the stats are kind of like skewed, because typically what happens on a death certificate is they will put the reason for death as whatever happened. So like in my mom's case, perhaps, let's just say she develops pneumonia and passes away from pneumonia, they're going to put it on her death certificate, pneumonia, but it's really Alzheimer related, right? So,
and I wonder if that's because he was in a nursing home.
Probably, because they're probably more aware of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long morbid condo.
Thanks, Cindy.
But wait, before we finish, you have the exciting news about your book.
Yes. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yes. I'm putting you in the spot.
Okay, it's in the process of getting published, so it's being edited right now. However, because it's 436 pages,
that's a lot of pages.
It's a lot of pages. But I did incorporate my first book in this book.
Oh, okay.
So you're getting kind of like two books for the price.
Two.
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 It's a great deal.
Two. For one.
Anyways, I don't know. It's looking like, well, because I initially said this publisher is an academic publisher, so they do books for universities and colleges,
like textbooks and stuff.
Yeah, textbooks. So I'm trying to see what the price I can, but it's looking at about $80. So I'm not sure.
There is no cost for knowledge. Just saying.
Thanks, Cindy.
I should patent that one.
I'm pretty sure it's taken.
Is it done by that
knowledge
owl?
Is power.
The owl with the hat, with the graduation hat. Did he say that? There's no cost. But anyways, cost for knowledge.
I will see what the publisher says, and I will keep you posted. Mm-hmm. And
next week's podcast?
Facebook has a lot of politics on doing podcasts on your page. So I might switch it over to my author page, like the live podcast. So I'll let you know prior to next week where it will be, where you need to log on, view.
Okay. Hopefully next week will be a lot more lively.
Is that a pun?
Oh my gosh, didn't even... Was that too soon? I think that was
too soon. Hashtag too soon.
That was a little...
That was not appropriate.
No. That was my clinical word. Completely inappropriate.
Okay.
Unbelievable. But it was actually good. It was like, didn't even catch that. So clever.
It was a Freudian slip.
Yes. So yes, hopefully next week will be a lot more lively. And have the party bumping.
Yeah.
Right? So.
But thanks for... Hi, Monique. Hi, Sandy. Thanks for tuning in. And, yeah, Monique, you should come on one time, a different perspective of a caregiver. But it will be great to hear what you're going through. And I know Monique's challenges firsthand. But, I mean, if she's feeling comfortable, she can talk about it. And Sharon... is supposed to come and talk about her mother-in-law who was diagnosed with dementia, or not even, maybe misdiagnosed. But she was going to come on as well. Okay, so till next week.
Bye.
You have to press finish.
Finish. Finito.